Please turn with me on the back of your bulletin or in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. This is not only Mother's Day, this is also the last sermon in our series on faithful women in the Bible. Today we'll be looking at Lois and at Eunice. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God, God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. And as we think of not only mothers and grandmothers, but all the women who've helped us throughout the years, I wanted to share a few stats on moms. First of all, moms do 88% of the laundry. Imagine that, 88%. On average, 330 loads per year. There are 2 billion moms in the world and about 85 million in the U.S. The average age for the first time for a mother to have a child now is 25. In 1970, it was 20. Moms averaged 2 kids. In the 1950s, it was 3.5. I know it's hard only having 0.5 of a kid. That's a hard one to raise. In the 1700s, it was somewhere between 7 and 10 kids. That's doing some extra duty there. You should have 2 days to remember you. The record number of children was held by Mrs. Vasilyer of Russia. And she had kids between 1725 and 1765, 69 kids. That dear woman. 4.3 babies are born each second. The heaviest newborn, I thought I was big when I came out at 10 pounds. The heaviest newborn in history was a 22-pound, 8-ounce boy born in Italy in 1955. Wow, it's going to take a lot of pizza. Mother's Day is the busiest day of the year with 122.5 million calls in the U.S. 72% of moms work in the U.S. today, up from 39% in 1970. Working moms spend 13 hours a day working between work and family. How's that for a day? And, of course, they're not getting paid for 13 hours of work a day. And does anyone have a guess as to how many diapers are changed by the age of 2? Anybody have a guess? 7,300 diaper changes for the average baby by the age of 2. And preschoolers require attention once every 4 minutes or 210 times a day. Definitely keep you busy. And let's look at a mother and grandmother who were celebrating the Bible, who in fact, Paul starts a book and mentions them by name when he's writing Timothy. Lois, Timothy's grandmother, she was a Jew who married a Greek man. She also embraced the Christian faith. She probably lived in Lystra. Most likely, she was deceased by the time Paul wrote this. Eunice was Lois's daughter and Timothy's mother. They were converted by Paul Imagine that, having Paul bring you to Christ. It's probable that Paul also led Timothy to Christ while visiting their home. Paul refers to the persecutions there. Paul may have been recovering from the stoning he received in Lystra. Shipwrecked twice, stoned, had to be dropped down by a basket to save him. I mean, over and over again, Paul was persecuted, and he thanks those who stood by him when he was persecuted. Their belief, more than likely, Lois was a Messianic Jew who may not have known that the Messiah had come, and Eunice and Timothy came to Christ during Christ's ministry. Acts 16:1, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. So we read about them encountering Paul possibly there in Acts chapter 16. And their behavior was consistent with their beliefs. They walked the walk. They didn't just talk the talk. A woman once wrote to Gypsy Smith after an evangelistic campaign, and she had been converted. And she said, "I believe the Lord wants me to preach the gospel, but I have 12 kids. What should I do?" And he said, "My dear, you have a congregation of 12. You've got plenty of people to preach and minister to." That what she was doing was incredibly important to the kingdom of God. Someone has said, "Mothers write on the hearts of their children with a rough hand the world cannot erase." That's the influence of a godly mother. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist, said, "All that I've ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother." And we read in Proverbs 6:20, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching." That's biblical, that we should listen when our mom talks. Out of the French Revolution came a story of a mother who was wandering through the woods. For 3 days, she and her two children had not eaten. And then there was a sergeant who saw them hiding there, and he gave a loaf of bread. He saw the mother divide the loaf of bread in half and give it to the children. And he told that to one of the soldiers, and the soldier said, "Well, did she not take any for her own because she wasn't hungry?" And the sergeant said, "She didn't take any because she was a mother. She was looking out for her kids and making sure that they would be okay." They exposed the truth to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:14 to 15. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and what you became convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." From infancy, they were teaching biblical principles to Timothy. And look at what a man he turned out to be. And they were clear. They were teaching him the word of God from infancy. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." And we read in Psalms 119:89, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." And we read from Jeremiah that the word of the Lord tasted like honey. That the word of the Lord, we read over and over again in Proverbs, that you're to meditate on it. You're to apply it to your life. You're to teach it to others. They were comprehensive about it. This wasn't some easy five-step program. You know, it's so easy to find people that have five steps to everything. But in reality, life takes about 2 million steps. We must take that comprehensive approach to saturating people with the Word of God, including children. Deuteronomy 11:18 through 20. "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." It's a lifestyle. That you are to share life with your children, that you are to share life with others. It's not something you do 5 minutes a day. It's something that percolates, that saturates, that grows throughout your entire existence. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John Wesley, spent 1 hour each day praying for her 17 children. Susanna Wesley should have gotten the medal. In addition, she took each child aside for a full hour every week to discuss spiritual matters. No wonder her sons, Charles and John Wesley, changed the world and stoked revival both in England and along the eastern seaboard of the colonies. That mother helped change the world. That the world was changed forever because of her sacrifice and because of her commitment to her children. And they were consistent. It will take a lifetime of consistent effort. Think about this. Paul compares the human life to a race that we're to grow in Christ. And he compares it to that marathon. It's not a sprint. We're to grow day by day, week by week. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Preacher G. Campbell Morgan had 4 sons, and they all became ministers of the gospel. At a family reunion, one of the friends asked one of his 4 sons who was the best preacher. One of the sons looked over his shoulder, pointed to his mom, and said, "Mom." That they knew where they had learned what they practiced. And they taught truth by example. 2 Timothy 1:5. I am reminded of your sincere faith. Notice in verse 5, Paul says that Timothy's faith is sincere. Sincere is defined as free from pretense or deceit, proceeding from genuine feelings or saying what they genuinely feel or believe. It's from the heart. Charles Swindoll, he was talking in his book, The Great Grace Awakening, and he said this: if you want to mess up the minds of your children, here's how. Guaranteed. Rear them in a legalistic, tight context of external religion where performance is more important than reality. Teach them to fake their way through life. But if we have a real faith, it will grow and it will spread. A transmitted faith. This is intergenerational. It went from grandmother to mother to son. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. And what happened to Timothy? Lockyer's All the Men of the Bible says this about Timothy. He was a co-sufferer with Paul in the afflictions of the gospel. Tradition says that Timothy died as a martyr for his faithfulness as a bishop in the reign of Domitian, who was a Roman emperor who greatly persecuted the church. While attempting to stop a procession during a festival devoted to Diana, this God-honoring minister sealed his testimony with his blood that he was willing to die for his faith. That was the kind of commitment that they passed along to their son, that these mothers were willing to sacrifice, were willing to share the Christian faith, to show others how to have life. And what they did touched the world. And imagine what Mary did with her son Jesus. Imagine what all these godly mothers did. Or the mother that saved her son Moses, who would deliver the people from 400 years of persecution. And today we have to thank women of faith. Women like Esther. Women like Rachel. Women like Lois and Eunice. Women who stood for truth in a difficult world. Women who served God even when it was difficult. And today, we also have to thank all the godly women in here who serve the gospel and who help this church and who help others. I am thankful to everyone here who carries on that flame that we see here and that continues on through the history of the church. And I wish that God would bless you all, that we would all have a good Mother's Day. If there's anyone who wants to make a decision today, who wants to come forward, this table is open for you.